Hey, Nadpoles. Caldwell here to talk to you about Hero Forge, the best place to get fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. I actually just built a version of my Underdark Gnome Illusion Wizard, Kraslo, for use in a home game my friend has been running, and it was incredibly fun getting to scroll through all the options and details to bring this mage-handed menace to life. Their easy-to-use design tools let you build your perfect miniature online using a fully 3D, in-depth character creator right in your browser. Oh, and before you ask, yes, Hero Forge has goggles, and yes, Kraslo is wearing them. So if you've been thinking about splurging on a miniature for your D&D campaign, wait no longer, because May 2nd to May 9th, Hero Forge is having a spring sale. You can get 10% off all physical miniatures and free shipping, including international shipping on all orders. The figures are tiny, but the savings are huge. To take advantage of this great offer, visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature today and check back often because new content is added every week. Ooh, good to know. Kraslo just got a hat of vermin in the campaign, and I really want to find an annoying top hat for him to wear to represent that. In the meantime, that's it for me. Thanks for listening, and happy forging.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun dun.
The energy. The energy is here. We are all here together in Seattle.
I think I'm used to Murph being like, "You guys don't need to do that." So I just stopped and waited for him to chastise.
Caldwell
us.
Says
I was
that.
The one.
Caldwell's
okay.
The guy.
But
who says
I renounced
that.
My position. I think it's okay to do it.
Yeah, we do need to do it.
I've evolved my stance. It's okay to do it.
We are your crit justices, Axford, Murphy, and Tanner, along with Bailiff Jake, and then we also have returning Judge Oyama.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
If there's ever a lull, I'm just going to bang the gavel.
Yeah, it's great. We're recording live in Seattle right now.
Literally, there wasn't a lull. Zach was trying to say hello.
I'm talking?
And then you
I'm talking.
What's a lull to you, Justice Tanner?
Silence! Silence!
A lull to Caldwell is when Zach voice? Is speaking.
You're creating the lull.
We can't keep talking about the lull. We're calling out the lull.
There was no lull.
The
Zach
court of lull?
Yeah.
I will create the lull. I will take the lull away. I am the lull.
Please stop hitting that.
Take his hammer.
I realize I said we're recording this live in Seattle, but that's not how we record things. We're not streaming this. We are all alive right now. We're all alive.
To us.
Together, we are alive.
The audience would be in such a lull if we were
recording. We're
going
to turn the lull
to
lulls.
For anything.
We're going to turn the lull to lulls as we throw to your cases and deal swift justice.
From lulls to lulls.
Wow.
And I was trying to say before we started talking about lulls that we are recording in Seattle right now. We've got a live show tomorrow night. We hope you were there. I'm sure it was great.
We're in the empty Moore Theater right now.
Yeah. We got the whole thing. We got it for the week. We're sleeping here.
It just made more sense that way.
Yeah. So if it sounds a little different than the studio, that's why.
Right. It's a cramped little attic.
Yeah. Sweet. I'm going to go ahead and throw it to Bailiff Jake.
Yeah. Hear ye. Crit is now in session. Ooh. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, Tanner, and Oyama presiding. Let us start with a case from Daniel B. To the most supreme and auspicious justices and guest Justice Oyama and anyone else who might be present, I suppose. I present the case.
There might be a ghost.
Yeah, it's true. This house looks kind of old that we're in.
Yeah.
I present the case of the celebrity halfling. It was my first time DMing 3 years ago, and one of my players decided to play a halfling rogue. He wore a hood at all times and wouldn't tell me anything about his character.
Oh, no. So much.
Anytime a player hides what they actually are from the DM, it's because it wouldn't be allowed otherwise. Yeah. Oh my god! I'm gonna call this ahead of time.
Oh,
if this is is this just going to be the player
another
is Tom Cruise?
Well, let's find out.
Yeah,
it's
I'm not gonna tell you anything until the player reveals themselves. Okay. Too.
Do we all want to make a bet secretly in our brains about which celebrity it is?
Oh, that's nice. All right, so.
Danny DeVito.
Okay.
Thomas. Okay, so Danny in your DeVito. Brain, but okay.
Okay, oh. I'll pick a new one.
Okay, so it can't be someone with a very distinct voice, though, because then the person would start to be like, why right. are you speaking mm-hmm. like...
I couldn't think they did a good like job. Yeah. I can't imagine they did a good job.
I didn't think this out as much as yeah. you did just now.
I think that they're pretending to be John Voight.
Secretly in your head.
Isn't that Angelina Jolie's dad? Yeah.
I see wandering around Williamsburg a lot.
All right, well, we figured it out. It's John Voight.
He wore a hood at all times and wouldn't tell me anything about his character. At the time, I was fine with it. A little mystery is fun.
Two sessions in, I love this DM. You sweet summer child.
Two sessions in, he pulled back his hood to reveal the face of Owen Wilson.
Oh. Wow.
What?
Wow. He proceeded to say, wow, throughout the session and was altogether making it difficult for me to concentrate on the world we were in. In the next session, he pulled back the hood to reveal Mike Tyson.
Wait!
Oh, come on. Changeling. They're a changeling.
It turned out every day he would be a different celebrity. I could not take it. So in the next battle they were in, I focused my attacks partly on his character and killed him.
Yes.
He ended up choosing a much more integrative character after that. But I ask you, was my naive DM mind wrong to remove such an insane character from my game? I put myself at the mercy of the court.
I think you did absolutely the right thing, especially because the person's next character was like worked for it. They clearly gently learned a lesson. Mm-hmm. So I think you did it all correct.
I do wonder how the other players reacted because I can only imagine cheering.
When he broke out the Mike Tyson impression.
When he was killed.
Oh, yes.
Your Mike Tyson lisp was so good.
But you know, they did say that it was the next session. So I wonder what celebrity they were when they were killed.
They were Owen Wilson. Then Mike Tyson. Woke up the next day.
You know
Mike
Tyson.
There's like an SAT question. Like, what is the next celebrity?
Owen Wilson is to Mike Tyson as Mike Tyson is to...
Is the bigger pivot to go back to the Wilson pool and do a Luke?
Do you do a Luke Wilson?
It's a Wilson Luke. Sandwich.
And then you do Tyson Fury, who's another boxer.
Oh, okay. That's great. I love it. Yeah. Actually, he would be a pretty fun celebrity to pretend to be. But I think that I'm guessing what happened was they showed up for this third session, went to pull their hood down, and then the DM just killed them immediately.
Stabbed in the neck.
That's what I feel like is the move. Right?
Before you can speak, the ancient gold dragon breathes its fire breath down on you.
Wow.
Before the hood comes back.
Before the W on the wow hits.
Wow.
Why? I think your first mistake was allowing your player to play a mystery character.
I don't think it was a mistake, though. I don't think it was a mistake.
Why?
Because I think that this DM was living life, loving it, loved the mystery.
Right.
Let the DM love a little mystery.
I guess ultimately you got to kill this character, so that does sound kind of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a privilege.
There's a world where like this DM saved this character from this bit that couldn't go on.
I think it was a mercy kill.
Yes, it was. It was like you do it three times, you're done.
Yeah.
By session seven, they're like revealing the cloak and it's an entire car under there. And it's just, you can't play as Lightning McQueen. You just can't do it. Ka-chow. It just won't work.
They would eventually get to John Voight.
Yeah.
Episode 10.
I really haven't seen him in anything.
Unless the secret is that it's like a Kevin Bacon thing and like that's the final reveal and we're just getting the degrees going towards Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that could be the prompt, but it's really not a prompt I want to see play out.
You did the right thing.
Yeah.
My character is 6 degrees from
What?
No, kill me. Just kill me.
Okay, so now
use your hammer.
So now we have to sentence John Voight.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah. We assume it was John Voight.
It's actually John Voight playing in this campaign.
Oh, that actually makes sense.
IRL John Voight doing
your
Owen Wilson impression.
You're not allowed to talk to your daughter for...
What? Oh, you're doing Angelina.
You can't borrow any money from Angelina Jolie.
He doesn't need to borrow money, though, is the problem.
Yeah,
I don't know how famous he is. I think
you got to be eaten alive by an anaconda.
An anaconda.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then J-Lo's also there.
Right.
Oh, and Ice Cube. Hell yeah, what a film.
That movie is so good.
And Owen Wilson was also in that movie.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
Wait,
Owen Wilson is in that movie.
Doesn't he get like thrown up by the snake and he winks? It's fucking weird.
No, John Voight gets eaten by the snake.
guy.
Oh, yeah, John Voight. Doesn't
Owen Wilson get eaten by the snake and get thrown up?
All no I remember way.
I think that's John Voight.
Is it?
Yeah.
Somebody get eaten by
Owen Wilson is, get eaten by the
he
snake?
Is in, he is in Anaconda. He plays Gary Dixon.
Read me the cast.
The cast? Please, John Voight plays Paul Cerrone. Jennifer Lopez plays Terry Florence.
Wow.
Owen Wilson plays Gary Dixon. Do you guys want me to keep on
look
going?
Up, just look up Owen Wilson death scene Anaconda. Maybe this
you're
was
sure
made up
that
in my
he
head.
Winks I thought right he before got he eaten died?
And winked as
I think
he got
that I
up.
Think it's John Voight that winks.
He winks?
Jake, if you want to look that up, I'll just bang my gavel for like.
So the wink is the wink. I am is real, I'm watching whether
it,
or not it's.
I'm watching
Owen
it on
Wilson
mute right now.
I have to say though, this is inspiring me that like my next character, when they right before they die, I'm gonna make sure they wink. Right? It's better
that's
than
good.
It's like yeah. better than a last. What are your last words? What if I just have a last gesture?
A last wink.
I yeah. think if I remember correctly, spoilers for Anaconda.
We'll have to put that in the.
Spoilers for Anaconda. John Voight is in it.
I think John Voight kills Owen Wilson.
What?
Wait, really?
Yeah, because John Voight's like the like bad guy.
We can't proceed any further without
so
watching Anaconda.
It looks like Owen Wilson goes to save J-Lo, who fell in the water. The Anaconda.
That's
no,
crazy.
It's not J-Lo. It's someone
wait,
else.
Wait, this is crazy. If he, so this was, because they're in some kind of romantic comedy coming out now where they get married.
Married?
I didn't know that it was an Anaconda
sequel. It's an Anaconda reboot.
So there's, it's kind of like a Jaws situation where like this woman falls off the dock. They're swimming. Owen Wilson dives in, saves her. He's swimming up. We see the POV of the snake underwater, kicking feet. Girl gets out and Owen Wilson looks like he gets out. Everyone's happy. Snake bites his face. Snake is spinning him around, biting his face. Everyone's scared and sad, and people are reaching for him. It does not look like he's winking. Snake lunges for the woman. Snake lunges for J-Lo.
You just know that he's winking under the snake.
It makes sense that John Voight
winked. His bones are breaking.
And this is we're describing
hashtag
the...
Owen Wilson winked.
I think John Voight winked.
Wilson winked.
Give him that Wilson wink if you're looking for a good
Owen
way to
Wilson
go out.
Does not surface again.
Okay. He gets torn under.
But J-Lo's about to shoot the anaconda with a gun, and John Voight stops her because I believe he wants the anaconda.
He loves the anaconda. So yeah, I think
he's not allowed to look up any anaconda facts.
No.
And I actually had an amazing time doing that, so that's a cool punishment.
Or talk to Angelina about it at all.
He's going to go to another rally.
Yeah.
So ordered, right?
Yeah. And so ordered. Not allowed to watch the Owen Wilson, J-Lo.
Can't check out Marry Me?
Marry Me either.
And I'll spin my computer around. Here is a gif of John Voight winking after being thrown up by an anaconda.
There is a wink.
So Voight winked.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm anaconda still going with hashtag Wilson winked.
Wilson winked. We know it. You know it.
In that performance, he's a winker. I do think he probably winked.
You're either a stinker or a winker, and I think we know which one he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so ordered. Our next case comes from Edel. Honorable Justices and Generally Cool Dude Bailiff Hurwitz, thank you.
There you go.
I come to you with the case of the sassy unicorn. My party were trying to join a prestigious guild and had to duel some of the members. The guild was way above their level. The party was level 3, and I thought they had no chance. On the very first turn of combat, however, our sorcerer had a wild magic surge and summoned a sassy unicorn controlled by the DM.
Okay.
I ruled that the unicorn, being lawful good, would have to be persuaded by the party to help them each turn as the combat was a test and the players agreed. However, other than once or twice, the sorcerer forgot to ask the unicorn and seemed to get a bit disappointed in herself for it.
Aww.
Although they lost the fight, the little help they got from the unicorn evened the fight out quite a bit, and the players seemed okay with losing, but a part of me feels like I robbed them of a cool victory. Was I wrong to make the unicorn be so stubborn that it had to be persuaded each turn and rob them of a success? If so, I humbly accept whatever punishment
I think
given.
You know you were wrong. Even hearing that, you know that you know, it's okay, you're a DM, you're making it up on the spot. You did a little something that maybe, I think you should have just let the unicorn be on
a persuasion check. I mean, every single turn.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I feel if I smell the DM sweat here.
Yeah.
Right.
I smell that sweaty
How's
DM.
How does it smell?
It smells like salt. Because that's what isn't sweating like you got some salt out?
Yeah, that is true. Because if you go for a really long run and you lick your lips, it's salty.
So salty.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you play baseball for a long time, you get that cool like white rim on a hat.
Oh, that's cool. That's all salt.
Yeah. I'm smelling the.
Anyone play baseball for a long time?
You can get that by wearing a baseball hat anywhere.
No, you got to be on the diamond.
You gotta be,
10,000 hours on the diamond.
I only wear a cap when I'm playing baseball, and I'm smelling the white lion on the cap right here because I think the DM was clearly panicking a bit
because they
said as much when they're describing the case that they didn't expect them to be able to get into the guild and win, so they're panicking. So I feel ya, but if you are gonna make that decision to be a hard ass, just have it be the one persuasion check.
Yeah.
Because even like logically, if you think about it, like the unicorn is not going to look over its shoulder every single turn to decide if it should keep kicking the enemy. It's either on your side or it's not.
Like imagine
the fight.
Like imagine like you're just a unicorn. You fucking try to spear someone with your horn.
Yeah.
And then like next turn you're like, oh no, I'm not involved. Like that person actually, should try to.
I think this is an interesting idea.
Thought
though,
experiment.
Right. Yeah. Because suddenly we're putting ourselves in the hooves of the unicorn.
Yes.
Right.
And
the unicorn's in it already.
Until you gallop a mile.
And it does make you kind of think, if you just got randomly fucking summoned by someone, would you immediately trust them?
No, I would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
But you're a unicorn, so you are magic. So you do show up just in the nick of time.
Oh, so you're used to it. Like, this is normal.
This is normal unicorn behavior. Wait,
that's true. Yeah. This is what you do as a unicorn.
Yeah. Yeah,
like here we go again.
Does the hoof fit? You know? Does the hoof fit?
Classic unicorn motto. Picturing a unicorn on a Harley Davidson. Yeah.
I'll do this one time and one time only. Everybody, I'm doing a one on my forehead.
It's like very good. It's good radio. Yeah.
This is why we need to live stream it for that fucking perfect joke. And your mason jar.
We talked about it on the road. I've got a mic in a mason jar. And I think it sounds fine. I'm not knocking it around, right?
Reeks of professionalism.
Yeah, well, it's filled with beer, so.
I sculled the beer, put the mic in the jar, and I sat down to record my podcast.
The mic is gently bobbing.
There's
in
a freaking live wire in this beer.
Yeah. Murph forgot his mic stand, but he remembered a brewski.
Oh, yeah.
I do think if you're a magic unicorn, you're summoned. It's another thing, another day in the life
just
of a magic unicorn.
Yeah.
But like somebody's like, fight for us. And you're like, okay, I'm convinced I'm going to spear this guy. And then you're just like,
okay, so the question though is it horrible to be a magic unicorn? Are you just
you're
like
getting summoned?
Well, yeah, like you're literally like, I just sat down. I'm like gonna sew something for myself. I want to do some craft.
It's like people that don't like want to be a celebrity. Like I can't go anywhere. I can't go to the mall. I can't get a coffee.
Do they use their horn on like a giant patchwork or like some sort of like big cross stitch? Do you think they use their horn for it?
I mean, I really hope so. I do hope so.
Okay,
I don't think they have the dexterity to.
No, I think it would have to be on a giant cross stitch.
Let's find out. Emily, summon
unicorn.
Okay.
Oh God!
It's she shat herself, but a miniature pony is here, which is pretty impressive.
Is that part of it?
It's so small.
That's just how I summon. That's my wild magic.
Oh, okay.
Squeezing out.
And I guess we'll be like,
the fact that she can do it on command is impressive.
Yeah, she squeezed out a fresh turd.
Oh,
it's almost as good as getting a unicorn.
Oh, gracious unicorn, I beseech you, please clean up my friend's turd.
That's why persuasion? You summoned it? I thought we wanted to interview
you. You need to convince me for every turd.
Okay, so we have to sentence this DM.
Right.
Yeah.
Although I will say DM, I think is fine. You make mistakes. You're thinking on the fly.
Yeah.
Right.
So do we think it's got to be a light punishment, right? This has got to be a slap on the wrist.
No, I think we need to go in the other direction. I think they need to be punished severely.
What?
Okay.
Oh, skewered by a unicorn.
Skewered by a unicorn horn.
Right. On a baseball diamond.
On a
nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Skewered by a unicorn who uses their who uses their hind legs to swing a baseball bat, get a home run, and then fucking drags you through the entire baseball thing.
Why on earth wouldn't the unicorn use its horn to bat?
Wait,
because the horn is skewered through this.
Okay, but how about this? Unicorn hits the ball with its horn. Runs around the bases. This DM is the home plate umpire.
Ready to call it out.
And you go, you're
is a here we go, right. Classic yeah. Unicorn.
And this is going to be great because you are going to have to sign up to be the umpire for an entire season of baseball
before
this happens.
Which means that you are going to have to learn how to be an umpire.
Right. You got to know a bunch
of
rules.
That's the toughest part because honestly, the unicorn.
You need at least 2 years in college.
I was an umpire when I was 12.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you were a prodigy.
Not professionally.
Though. Did you ever? Wait. I actually really want to go into this, Jake.
In double
Did you ever lie?
No, there were a lot of times where
you
I didn't
even
the dads get mad, right?
I always, yes.
Parents love to yell at refs.
I was a soccer ref for a little bit. They were awful.
I was 12. I was umpiring T-ball, and I had multiple dads screaming at me from the stand. I think one time I changed my call because a dad was yelling at me so much, and then a dad from the other bench started freaking out.
I'm like,
that's one of my favorite genres on TikTok is like people yelling at refs for bad calls.
Wow.
Like, just like, it's just chaos. And it's such a bad look.
It's like, I'm
that
sorry.
That was clearly a triple. Zane clearly hit a triple.
Trying to fucking make $8, sir.
Sees you.
Yeah. There were plenty of times where I just didn't really know what happened and I just said what I going with my. I was like, I think he was out. It's like, I don't know.
This kid's
pretty
been
close.
This kid's been hot today. I'm going to say, out.
Most of the time, the calls were really obvious, I mean, but every once in a while, there's one.
It depends on if the scouts were there or not, I guess.
For the 4-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so this DM has been sentenced.
Right. Oh, yeah. And unicorn tears, I think, do heal you. So
that's true.
You won't die.
Yeah, unicorn
you
will cry over
to
your
body. Appeal to the unicorn's sympathy to
there
get
you
those
go.
Tears.
That is a lesson learned if I've ever heard one.
So unicorn might cry from joy from having just hit a home run.
That's true.
Oh, wow.
So that's cool.
All right. I thought you were going to say from stabbing him.
That might happen, too.
A lot of joy to go around. So ordered, I suppose. Knock, knock, knock.
He did it in a weird way.
Sorry.
He knocked it in a weird way.
At home, picture Caldwell
did you do a
just
double?
Picture becoming a little gremlin.
Picture, if you will, Caldwell in a little gremlin stance, elbows pinched in, double-handed little hammer.
Picture
little
Grogu.
Little tiny mouth.
Just that little guy from Mandalorian just trying to hit a big hammer.
A big practical puppet Caldwell just...
And that's how I did it.
We should start calling each other practical puppet when we're mad. Listen to me.
You absolute practical puppet.
Practical puppet. Waving your arms around willy-nilly, you practical puppet. I don't know why it has to be British, but it certainly does.
It definitely sounds like it does. Okay, our next case comes from Nick. Nick writes, "May it please the court, honorable judges and desirable bailiff, I present to you the case of the nictitating..."
The what?
The nictitating membrane?
Nictitating.
Nicholas Nickleby? What are you trying to say?
It wasn't even close to that. Isn't that the
nictitating membrane?
Little thing that comes through on your eyes?
Must
be. It's a frog's habit. This is one of Saul's frog facts.
Okay. Wow.
All right. I DM a campaign, and one of the PCs is a Path of the Totem Barbarian. At one point in the campaign, they were fighting a battle at sea, and I had creatures below the surface that I was ominously warning about. The barbarian said he should be able to see them because at 6th level, he gained the eagle aspect, which means he gains the eyesight of an eagle. Mm. I said no. This would be for underwater sight.
Yeah.
He said that eagles would be able to see underwater because that's how they hunt. He said,
depends on how deep underwater birds hunt fish and shit.
Yes, he then said that eagles possessed nictitating membranes and therefore could see underwater.
Oh.
It ultimately resolved itself in the next turn, but we still debate about nictitating membranes. Justices, please help us resolve this case once and for all. I await your punishment.
You ever see a freaking bird just swoop down and grab
a
fish?
I guess I was thinking me, myself, with contact lenses, I can't open my eyes up underwater. And I assume me and an eagle are kind of on the same level.
Basically the same. You both have nickelback membranes.
Yeah. So
I think there's a couple things. One, wouldn't it be cool if John Voight had a nictitating membrane when he winked
in
Anaconda? Very neat.
So like in Men in Black when that alien does the weird wink.
Precisely. Yeah, thank you, Justice Tanner.
Yeah, yeah.
The question is, I think we need to rule, like, could Owen Wilson see the anaconda when he was under the water?
No, because the anaconda actually bit his face when he was above
the water.
It was
honestly all he could see.
Yeah. His head was in the anaconda's mouth.
Whoa.
But so
I bet you close your eyes during that experience, though.
Right.
Wouldn't like from
here's
pain.
The question. Yeah. Well, okay. So if the reverse is true, then this must be true. How could the anaconda see Owen Wilson if he was out of the water?
Right. Because anacondas, anacondas are like living duck boats. They can go on land and they can go in the water.
Also, I think they also have a nipple tweaking membrane, so they can see underwater.
This anaconda from the film really defied logic. It could kind of like go up like a cobra. I don't think it could go more like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Practical puppet.
By a practical puppet. I think, well, I kind of like that this Path of the Totem Barbarian, maybe people think this is annoying, but I do kind of like that this Path of the Totem Barbarian is like, I'm about to get my eagle, like my eagle sight. Let me learn about an eagle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's cute stuff.
If you're going to spout eagle facts, it's hard to turn you down.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is also just some fun table banter to me. It's just no. It's like the fun little back and forth before the DM makes their final decision.
I'm confused on the geography though. Mm-hmm. Were they in a boat and looking down at
Justin Soyama? I'm actually really glad you bring this up because this is my issue with it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that the eagle seeing under the water is more because of eagle eye view. They're high up. They're looking into the water. They can see the shapes and the shadows moving around. But having the nictitating eye like thing doesn't make you see through water.
It's underwater when you're deep.
Well, it can't be that deep because it was hinted that the monsters were there, right?
Do we think it's fun though if the DM had been like, okay, yeah, you can see underwater, but you have to dip your head in the water to see it.
In which case
you might alert the monsters that you're there.
Mm.
I think that there are certain eagles that might actually dive into the water.
But do they dive like 40 feet in the water?
Probably not that deep. I think they're skimming.
How deep can an eagle dive?
But if the monsters are getting involved in the boat fight, then they're probably not that deep.
No, they're ascending towards the surface, I would imagine.
I think with the information given here, I think an eagle-eyed barbarian would be able to see...
Yeah.
These dudes, based on the reverse anaconda rule, and also based on the birds are out here eating fish. That's all I got to say.
I did not know that eagles ate fish. I thought they ate rabbits and humans that have died.
I don't know any bird facts at all, except that some birds eat fish.
But they're not getting like the fish with the little like light on the head.
No, but these guys don't have the little light on the head. I know exactly what deep underwater fish you're just talking about.
Murph's brain perfectly empty and it just says, some birds eat fish.
This is the opposite of Brennan.
Yeah, just imagining a sick ass eagle like jumping in the freaking water.
Grabbing a freaking Chinook? Absolutely, no question.
I would love to see a submarine see like an eagle just swimming.
Just eagle.
Just like just no like, light, like, you know.
All the soldiers on the submarine are just like, I wonder what's down there. As deep as the eagle dives. Eagle.
Are those feathers?
We would name our submarine the SS Eagle, but we can't even get that.
Why did God do this?
Well, you've got Seahawks. Are there deep eagles?
This is what a Seahawk is. We're even talking about Seattle.
Hey! All right. You know what? Okay. We're in the house of the Seahawks. We got a rule in favor.
If all of these facts that this barbarian said are true, I think I'm going to be like, yeah, I think that's okay that they think that they could see the monsters.
Just picture this eagle diving deep down. You see these sea monsters all around it, but the eagle gives a big Wilson wink and then flies right back up. You're good to go. Absolutely.
But with the nictating part.
Yeah.
So it's like the sideways.
With the Stevie Nicks membrane. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think with the information we have here, because if they were truly deep, then an eagle couldn't see them, like the little fish with the light on his head, as Justice Oyama so aptly pointed out.
Lantern fish?
But,
but
just a regular, we're calling
it called little fish with the light on its head.
Yeah. Excuse me.
That is why you need a bailiff around.
Yeah.
The chompy fish with a little light.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Of course. Great. Okay. So wait, what's the punishment?
So now we have to punish the DM? Are we punishing yet another DM?
Wow.
Usually, because of my husband, I side with more DMs.
Wow. Yeah.
The court moves ever north.
Wow. It's because we're about to do show, and so we're having fun.
But this is crazy, though, because here we are doing the Wilson Wow. And it's starting to make me wonder if we were too cruel about the person who wanted to play Owen Wilson. Because here we are.
If they had stuck with Owen Wilson, the fact that they were morphing to new celebrities.
They betrayed Wilson.
It was the Tyson twist.
Right. It was the Tyson twist.
It was the Tyson twist. We're okay with the Wilson Wow. When you lose the Wilson Wow for the Tyson twist.
If you're going to wow us with Wilson, don't twist us with Tyson.
Oh, my God.
You proud. practical puppet.
All of this with a fucking mason jar.
That's how you podcast. That's how you podcast.
This is podcasting.
All rise for Justice Murphy.
Here, here.
One, right?
It sure was.
Now this is podcasting.
All right, so ordered.
So did we decide what the punishment was for the DM? Is anyone on the DM side? Because this one...
I mean, I'm always on the DM side.
I think the player could have sold it a little bit better, but I think
the DM's
wrong.
How many more bird facts does the barbarian need for you, Sosoyama?
I think that, to me, this case actually played out how it was supposed to. The player did their research. Yeah. They pled their case. The DM gave them their, you know, their argument, ultimately decided against it. The player got to share that they knew an eagle fact, which is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we all got to visualize an eagle plummeting past the window of a submarine.
Yeah.
Jacques Cousteau fucking flipping out. They got to build a swimming pool for birds.
Ooh.
Perfect. That's a bird bath. What?
I know, but an in-ground one.
Are we asking this person to drown birds?
No.
No. This is by choice.
Right. They have to bathe oil-covered ducks.
The birds have to go in there on their own.
Yeah. Why is this podcast so focused on things for birds?
Ooh, if we're talking about birds, just to bring it back, we could have them. They have to start the burlesque theater.
That I move away from that.
Synchronized swimming for birds.
Oh,
that could get a little sexy.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Birdlympics.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ah.
Ooh. You have to, be a choreographer.
For the Birdlympics?
Synchronized swimming at the Birdlympics.
What if this punishment ends up being like their
the
true passion?
Yeah, they just might be real. Don't Google it.
Don't Google it. Just believe me.
Well, the birds just do it. Why would we know?
There's two bird facts I know. One is that some birds eat fish, and the other one is that the Birdlympics are real.
Okay, so I think
each one verifiably true.
I know where they're held. This case seems to have been fairly tried.
Zach did such a good joke. Double back around. I really liked it, Zach.
Could you say your
You guys
joke?
Know where the Birdlympics are held?
Oh, wait. I want to guess.
The Canary Islands?
I want to guess.
Also good?
Oh, that's good.
I just said, do you want to guess?
Mount Bird.
You're right. No.
There you go.
Turkey.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was worth
that
it.
That was really great.
Very worth it for that comeback.
What about Bird Key?
Yeah, it's already, you're also right.
It's already a bird.
I'm just kidding. I knew that was bad. I feel like sometimes the audience...
She knows what a turkey is.
Sometimes the audience thinks that I don't realize...
That you don't know stuff?
That I'm stupid.
Emily knows what a turkey is.
No. Because it was funny.
Emily is bird-brained, but in a good way.
Okay, next case, please.
Next case.
Summer
tea. This court is out of control.
This is a kangaroo or a dodo court.
Oh.
I don't know. I just couldn't think of a bird off the top of my head.
You got it.
Thank you. Summer T writes, howdy court bosses. What? I done cast shatter on some skeletons, and my DM didn't give them disadvantage. I insisted gently that they ought fall under the clause a creature made of inorganic material such as stone, crystal, or metal has disadvantage on this saving throw. On the basis that bone is primarily inorganic. It's about 30% organic, and I'm guessing it's only that high when the bone is actually a part of something living.
Why do people know so many bone and bird facts?
I was overruled, and the skeletons made the save normally. Should my DM be hanged in the town square for this?
Lord.
All right.
Is this a cowboy?
I think it is. Yeah, it was a cowboy.
It seems like it's a Western campaign or, you know, just from a cowboy table.
Man, I would love to play D&D in a saloon. That sounds fun.
I done cast shatter on some skeletons and my DM didn't give them disadvantage as a great
start. I'm about to get that tattooed on my back.
All right, I have a question, though. Is a skeleton a construct? Because it seems like shatter is aimed at constructs specifically. And I would argue that skeletons are resurrected via necromancy and thus there is some sort of unspoken, unseen force animating their bones and holding them together.
That's what I was going to say is that, like, I feel like skeletons are, yes, they are made of inorganic material, but I think that there's also, like, an animating magic that is... that more so defines them.
Yeah, if they were fossils, then I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they are not fossils.
Oh, they wow. Might
be. They're not fossils. They could be old. How old are these skeletons?
That's true.
Are these fresh skellies?
Are these 6 million years old?
Wait, let's think about this for a second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jack Skellington, the Pumpkin King.
Yes. Sure, yes. I'm
is
following.
He organic or inorganic?
Okay, you can't tell me Jack Skellington would have disadvantage on Shatter. That motherfucker would have he's too advantage wily. On it.
Absolutely.
Practical puppet.
Yeah, he would step over it with his long,
but
beautiful
Jack
legs.
Skellington, I would posit, is the...
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Mint Mobile. It's spring cleaning. We're getting rid of the things that don't serve us anymore, and you know what doesn't serve anyone? Expensive phone bills. If you'd like to declutter your finances, it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/pawpaw. That's mintmobile.com/pawpaw. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PAWPAW. $45 upfront payment minimum required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody. Exception that proves the rule. Jack Skellington is a skeleton like none other.
Yeah. That's true.
That's he's, true. Yeah. We all bow to the Pumpkin King.
Well, the justice is bow to no one.
There must be exceptions.
Hear ye.
The bailiff looking out at the
I, of course, as the bailiff, bow to Jack Skellington.
Bow to everyone.
Right. I guess I need to know if these skeletons are someone's grandparents. Like, how recent are these skeletons?
I think here's the thing I'm going to say is, because this is like, I feel like this person, like, I get where you're coming from, but I think technically a skeleton's going to be undead. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of more so their defining characteristics. So spells that affect undead would be the spells that affect
right.
I feel like sometimes like the rules of DM conflict a little bit with like what you would just consider your normal human knowledge.
Yeah,
like skeletons to me seem like rattly, shaky things that are like barely held together, and a loud fucking vibrating noise would blow them apart. So I get why you would think that, but rules is written.
Yeah.
I think it's like if a DM was like, yeah, that's fun, let's do that. Right, that'd be cool. But I don't think the DM is in the wrong to be like, I don't think so.
Yes. Which I commend Summer T for insisting gently that they
all
follow.
Yeah. Good for you.
You can insist gently.
You can insist gently.
I love insisting gently. Mm-hmm.
You gotta make your case. And you gotta insist gently.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to insist gently that we I punish Summer T.
Yes. Wow. How gently or firmly can we punish Summer T?
Although I'm also, if other people side with...
I feel like, were I the DM, I would probably allow the shatter. Mm. But like, that's not what happened here.
That's
the point.
Right.
Mm. That's what I'm saying is, if I were the DM, that would have absolutely convinced me. Yeah. But I don't think that your DM is wrong that it didn't convince
them. No, exactly.
I think Summer T has to buy a round of sarsaparillas for the entire bar. The entire saloon.
Now you're talking, partner.
Ooh, a group of skeletons drinking sarsaparillas?
You know, a skeleton walks into a bar and they ask for a beer and a mop.
Oh, wow. For for anybody at home.
What about a bird in a mop?
A bird.
She knows it was bad. Everyone she knows.
I know. Yeah. I said it to be bad.
Now I'm thinking of a just like a chewed up bird being cleaned by a mop. It's horrifying.
Oh, I hate that. God.
Oh, just picturing like those little half doors swinging open. Yeah. Someone comes in, swinging the piano is like playing as they like amble over, and they're like, I brought my character sheet. I'm ready to play.
Yeah.
And they're there. And then the healer. That's fun.
Wow. Yeah. Where do you fall, Murph?
I'm with you guys. I think that I would probably let shatter work on bones because bones do shatter.
Yeah. Yeah. I would let it work, but I don't know that I can punish the DM for not letting it work.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
Wow. I don't know that I would consider. Yeah, I don't know if I'd consider a skeleton inorganic.
So do we think we're going to have to punish this person, but then like punch a wall because we know we made the wrong decision?
It's a tough decision for sure.
Oh my God.
I wish we could like kind of, you know, put into the court all of the other DM's decisions. Because if this DM's like not a normally crunchy DM and they did this.
And they went in on the skeleton decision for some reason.
Then I would find them. Then I would rule against them.
Yeah. I would say even like Summer T, you seem to know a lot of bone facts. And I would say you've learned a lot
that's
here.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Like all of us are kind of like, whoa,
we're
kind of
like, you know your bones.
That's awesome.
You know,
and I would say even part of your punishment.
No bones about it.
Learn no more about bones. About no bones about it.
Oh, I love that. As part of your punishment, you learn more about
learn
bones.
More about bones. So it's sort of we're giving you a gift.
Yeah. And the gift is a full anatomical skeleton.
Yeah.
Get like a Grey's Anatomy book and just like, just learn just all about.
Just go to B. Yeah. I assume it's like, there's like a glossary.
Yeah.
And just go to bones.
Right.
Go to B, man.
Just go to B.
We need you to go to B.
We're going to need you to go to B.
Go to B for bones.
We're going to insist gently that you
Bailiff go Jake, to bones. Bailiff Jake, we move on.
Of course. So ordered. Get a B, take it to B, and go to straight B. Our next case comes from Matthew T. H. Matthew T. H. Right.
The cadence of your voice really made it Matthew sound like T at the end of it.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I just wanted to... full run of rhymes. Matthew T.H. writes, may it please the lovely courts and the ever handsome bailiff. Thank you. Please hear my case.
Feels like there's been a really an uptick in positive comments.
I don't like how popular Jake is.
People know how to get their question chosen.
I read all the cases. There's some really good insults. Then the cases were just too long. Yeah. So people who insulted me, I love it.
So insult Jake, but keep your description.
Keep him brief. I understand that it's a tough tightrope because sometimes they're too short.
I would say keep it short and sweet or bitter and brief. Those are the two options.
Nice. Mm.
Wow. Okay. And Matthew actually writes, long story short, a player in my D&D group playing a bard wanted to waltz into the lion's den, so to speak. I made him...
With D&D, you could literally
a figurative lion's den. After I made him roll an intelligence check, throwing him a huge bone. Wow, speaking of bones. And explaining that his character knows it is likely a fatal decision. Mm. The Lion's Den was essentially a barbarian biker bar. Upon entry, he was immediately discovered, tried to make a persuasion check that he was the entertainment for the evening, and was barely successful.
Okay.
I had the barbarians insist he sing a song. He said, my character sings Lick It Up by Kiss, a really raunchy song.
Okay, I'm into it. I think that's good.
I told him to roll with disadvantage because he was nervous. He had been caught, etc. Mm-hmm. My other players wanted to give him help action to cancel the disadvantage.
Oh.
I told him if he sang out loud in Discord, he could have advantage and may survive it. He said that's not fair. He doesn't want to sing in front of everyone. Inspiration is a tool for me to use to inspire good role play. Take it or leave it. He ended up taking it, and it was hilarious. But he was frustrated by it all, and it led to a terse discussion I didn't enjoy.
Bitter and brief indeed.
What saith ye, O great judges?
A terse discussion I didn't enjoy.
Sometimes I just love some of the part.
That's
phrasing.
Definitely like an autobiography title.
A terse discussion I didn't enjoy.
Just like reflect. That's what life was to someone. I think. Okay. I'm totally fine to be disagreed with here. My first thought is that I feel like they chose a really good song to perform for this biker bar. I think that in itself should have negated any disadvantage.
They won the first. They succeeded on the first persuasion check.
Yeah.
So why are they rolling with disadvantage? Yeah. And then why are not only are they rolling with disadvantage, they're also not allowed to get a help action unless they perform for you?
Mm-hmm.
Like in real life?
Yeah.
which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. I think you got to let people role play within their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And also, I think that there was a funny song choice and they should have maybe got it Fantin.
Yeah.
It was a good move.
Yeah. It sounds like they were really trying to punish this player from the first, what this DM would consider the transgression entering the bar, even though he knew it was really dangerous.
It is true.
He was hell bent on following through.
Yeah.
On
anytime the DM's like, if you do this, you might die, and the player does it anyway. It is a
sometimes
little bit on
you
the player.
Absolutely.
But I am kind of wondering, like, why even build the biker bar if even going into it is like, you don't want to go into this fucking thing.
Well,
you'll definitely die.
But the DM might have been like, it's going to come into play later, but they need to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, you got to earn their trust. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
I feel like there were two, it's almost like two penalties in football that like have to cancel each other out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the player shouldn't have gone in knowing this, but then the DM, once these checks started happening, I feel like I do side with the player.
Yeah.
Yeah. The transgression I see is like, I don't think that there was a good reason to give them disadvantage because they came up with a fun song.
What was the first persuasion check for if not instantly it's like, okay, well now you have disadvantage.
I'm the entertainment for tonight. They say,
yeah,
okay.
And they say,
we
yeah.
barely survived. They barely make it, but they did. Okay. Yeah. So I think we're going to punish the DM then, huh?
Yeah. Have we sided against everyone who submitted
stories
so far?
That's what I'm so confused about.
Except for Owen Wilson. We were anti-Owen Wilson.
But now,
that was not the submitter.
We've been saying wow nonstop, and I'm really starting to wonder if they're
right.
But
that again, it's a Tyson twist.
Yeah,
that player
took it too far.
Yeah,
this DM again. Took it too far.
I think so.
The terse discussion that you didn't enjoy.
I mean, that's a beautiful phrase, and we do owe you for that. For that little wonderful.
It depends on the relationship you have with people, because like some people will take like a razzing like that, like it'll be like if somebody was like, Murph, you got to sing for this thing. I was just like, I'm not going to fucking sing. It's like, come on, Murph, sing. That's fine. But there's some people who don't like performing at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's another transgression.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
I think let people, like I said, role play within their comfort zone. It's cool to invite people to step out of their comfort zone. But if they are uncomfortable, then you got to like let them be where they are.
I do wonder sometimes like about like playing a, have y'all talked about things like this, like playing a bard or a character like that when you really don't want to
right, because like if you play a barbarian, you don't have to be strong in real life. One's like, you use an axe, come on now, you couldn't do that in real life.
I think it's also like, forget it, Craig. Sometimes someone might want to play a bard because in their life they're not much of a performer, and this is like a fun chance to
an outlet for that.
Like live out something, and they don't want to actually dance, but they want to describe the dance that they couldn't actually do.
Right. You know?
So I think,
you gotta let them describe the dance.
It's really true. You wouldn't make anybody else do a physical like feat to prove that they could you're gonna swing an axe. All right, stand up and lift this fucking chair. Okay, lift the chair. Let's see if you
actually start incorporating that into our game.
Yeah, we all have to get
strong.
Give
me 50 push-ups right now.
Give me 50 push-ups, or you have disadvantage.
Y'all, we just created
You're jumping
very...
in a castle window? No way. Do a box jump right now.
We've created a very good game show.
A workout, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like a big gymnasium with a lot of foam pits and stuff like that.
Forget Wii Fit. People have forgotten Wii Fit.
I never had a Wii. I don't know what that thing is. Is that from the
throw
Ross?
Out your balance
know.
Board. We're done with it.
Oh my God.
We move into a big arena space. There's like foam pits. There's like tumble boards and stuff everywhere. In the center is like a little D&D mat. And you roll, and then like you just have to perform every feat.
Whoa.
Wow.
What is it about foam pits that they seem so dirty?
They are.
Yeah, a lot of sweat.
They probably are. I don't know how do you clean a deep block? You just don't.
Like a spongy.
You soak it. You fully soak it.
You fully soak the whole pit?
No, you don't soak it. You have to change out the foam.
You freaking drain the foam.
This is why, like, if you're a fitness center or like a gymnasium worth your salt, you've got a chlorine pool next door. You just toss all the foam blocks in the chlorine pool.
Oh, and then you let them. You're still draining the foam. In the sun.
How's the foam getting out of the pit? You're draining it.
You're draining the pit. Yeah, you're gonna need two sets of foam. I'll agree with Jake on that point.
Okay, so I think we can sentence this DM.
I almost Googled it and it was not worth it.
I'm gonna sentence this DM. They have to drain train of foam pit.
Yeah.
One of the first people to ever do it.
All of your friends, all of your players get to play in the foam pit and have a great time. It's a birthday party.
It gets so sweaty and yeah. bring food in there and everything. Yeah. And then afterwards, you have to use your own laundry to then clean all of the individual foams.
Just going to a foam pit with a nutty buddy.
While you sing Lick It Up.
Yeah.
So ordered.
Sweet. Why don't we go ahead and do one more?
One more.
In that case, why don't we climb down from the bench and climb into some pews because we have a Dice Christ confession. From Dipper N. Crit Justice. Oh, yeah, Zach, you're aware of Dice Christ. Wow. We're clergy.
It's a Dice Christ. Okay. Yeah, it's just church
for sure.
And state.
I think they are mixed. They're intertwined.
Yeah. So they're just going to say a confession, and we're going to absolve them of their sins.
Totally.
Yeah, of course. For Dice Christ.
And then we'll basically, like, if they really fucked up, we'll make them say a certain number of Wilson Wilson wows.
Which is part of it now.
100 Wilson wows.
100 Wilson wows.
Wow. Would you join me in a long, prolonged wow?
Wow, son. The father, the Wilson.
All right, Dipper N writes, Crit Justices, I must confess to Dice Christ.
Okay.
I just started a new campaign, and it's the first one I've played in 5 years after having been banned from playing it by my parents.
Oh.
No, what the fuck? During the first battle, I rolled 3 nat 20s in a row. I felt really bad about it because I didn't want my friends to think I was trying to overcompensate or prove myself to the DM. So I lied, and I only used my first crit. I essentially gave myself disadvantage for the others and took a lower roll. Was I morally right, or should I have taken Dice Christ's judgment? Also, can I say that as a former Catholic, Dice Christ confessionals are extremely cathartic, and I really love
them. Thank goodness. I could see it going the other way.
All the practicing Catholics love them as well.
Murph is very defined by being a former Catholic.
It's true. Yeah.
It's never come up.
Pretty much my whole thing.
This is like too heartbreaking because I really hate, because there is like a lot of pressure in D&D to like hide your power and hide your strength.
I've been there where
maybe
you
that's
like
a woman
you
thing.
Feel.
I was saying like not me.
I want to be strong so bad. Yeah.
I'm always like I have to pick my moments of strength.
Yeah, that's definitely different.
Okay. So never mind. Yeah. Ignore that.
I mean, definitely valid.
Yeah, the part of the story that's the most heartbreaking is that their parents wouldn't let them play.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like really just like Dice Christ like gave you all those nat 20s to be like, welcome back, child.
We saved a seat at the table.
Yeah,
for you.
Like happy to see you back.
It's also okay. You decided to, you know, you were out there. Dice Christ reached out, and you did not need him in that moment. Mm-hmm. You did not need to grab the hand.
Your 20s didn't need to be presented to the table. They were presented to you.
You did what you were comfortable with, and you didn't need to do that. But there's no, like, you don't, the real thing that happened was an intimate moment with you and DC.
That was when DC carried you.
So I'm going to say, like, you should maybe, like, instead of, like, saying, like, repentant Wilson wows, you should halloo some Wilson wows from, like, a mountaintop and celebrate. Yeah,
honestly, I stand in awe of you and your triumphant return. Yeah. I give you a Wilson wow.
Right.
Wow.
I'll give you a Wilson ka-chow. Wow.
And I will say, did you roll 3 nat 20s in a row, or did you roll 1? And then Dice Christ rolled 2 nat 20s in a row.
Ciao.
The odds of that are a little bit better, aren't they?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Aren't they?
And here's the thing.
Wow.
There will be more 20s.
And also in the future, just do what we do when we're on Zoom and we roll a nat 20 in a ridiculous situation.
Yeah,
oh my God, I swear I'm not lying.
Yeah, take your webcam and point it at your dice.
About 6 minutes to like wipe your computer.
Get my computer off the stand.
Careful, because I did that once and I was wearing very short shorts.
So short. I think Jake has to say 10 Owen Wilson wows for how short his shorts were. Okay. Those were in front of Christ. And Jake has taken your sins for you.
The anaconda shall spare you this day.
Yeah. May J-Lo's buff arms carry you to safety from the anaconda.
All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to Justice Oyama. Oyama, do you have anything you want to plug?
God, I guess I'll just plug.
Everything you said was fine.
Yeah. It's a huge hassle.
I said it in such a, like, I don't know why it was such a downward spin.
Yeah.
I would like to plug Rotating Heroes Podcast. It's on Patreon. You can find it there. A lot of the same people here, or one of the same people here, has been on it, but I would love to have everyone else. It's like this, but a little different.
What's that URL, my friend?
Oh, it's, I think it's patreon.com/ Rotating Heroes.
Rotating Heroes.
Or check RH it out. Pod.
One of those.
Try both. You have to know the
try
URL.
And honestly,
you
have to know subscribe to both.
Or RH Pod. They're so wildly different.
Zach, how many?
Just picture your computer.
Wait, can we? I'd like to defend Zach for a second here, because we did just. We did just put up an announcement for a live show that Jake gave the wrong date for.
That's not fair. That's so different. That's a URL. This is a once in a lifetime show.
Absolutely.
And by the way, it is Rotating Heroes Pod, everybody.
Rotating Heroes Pod. That's bad. That's really bad.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I know it.
Yeah. Zach, you need to hire a PR person.
I forgive myself.
Oh, wow.
Dice Christ forgives you.
Wow.
We'll give you the word.
And you can follow us on Patreon on patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing. Yeah.
Pretty sure it's not another D&D podcast.pod.
Oh, that's it. Subscribe to that one too. It sounds awesome. Anybody else have anything they'd like to plug?
Oh, I have a plug just because I saw Jeff Rubin the other day. And you guys remember his mobile game that he made called Lies Game?
Yeah.
It's fucking great. It's so fun.
Ooh, it's a fun little party game.
It's a fun little party game. Okay. I played it with my family through the pandemic. It's a game where you just like, everyone can play on mobile and you just come up with believable lies, and whoever like accrues the most points wins.
Wow.
It's really fun. It's just the URL liesgame.com.
Lies game.
I want to plug the TV show Yellow Jackets.
Absolutely rules.
I loved it.
I'm just gonna fucking double down on Ranking of Kings. As good as hell. Watch that show. I love it.
Awesome. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at CH Merv is me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Jake Rowitz is Jake, and at EXford is Emily, and also at Zach Oyama.
That's correct.
There you go.
I don't know. No way to know.
And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are. Youth of the nation. Dungeon.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Dylan B., Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P., Michael McD., Vincent W., Mr. Cole, Victor T., a.k.a. Balnor's Boy Forever, Nerdle, Andrew B., Justin I., Ragnar Fairdwind, TJM, Kaylee E., Elena M., Trele the Crayfay, Jared E., Christopher B., Samuel R., Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Filbert the Therapy Duck, Richard X Machina, Michael L., Taylor S., Sir Carl, Jory S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., a lot of L's, Nicholas C., Samuel B., Mike H., Martin P., Matthew E., Colton B., Heather G., Adam G., another double G, nice, Nabadger, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Nathan C., the assistant king to the assistant king of Iron Deep, Hail to the Hammer, Diana, CC Lulu, Barnesonator, Michelle O., Hercule Poirot, the rabbit folk detective, Timmy R., Crocaholic, Lucas B., Rako, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Cum, New York, Cass Skateboard Cass, Stephen C., Mike K., Lady Taco, Joy T., Nara, Jake L., Nick W.,
Brave the Badger, Esme M, Mutton the Mad Druid, a has-been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorphed sheep for 3 weeks, Arin the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beater the Mad, Eric McD, Gulia Julia, Burly T, Percival, Frederick Stein, Von Musel, Klazowski, DeRolo the Third, Christian A, J Dragonborn, Joe Rowe the Inapropro, Liam D, the Sandrayan, Ben A, Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Issy F, The Time Walker, Blair the Bug Blair Barblarian, Cat C, Kelsey J, Porkchop, Selena N, aka Valacy Raptor, Manette the Magnificent Magikarp, Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Amber W, Ryan S, The Charming Fluff, Robot CRSP, Master Brentley, Telekitty Creations, the official NADPOD and my personal favorite illustrator, Mr. Satan, the World Martial Arts Champion and the Earth's Protector, Some Quantity of Ploops, Carly Ann, Addie K, Lori P, Seth AJ, Spam Gaming the Not So Skilled Gamer, Grant L, Connor S, Christopher J. Pebblepot, Tight Grandma's Favorite Grandson who secretly makes bathtub brisket, Logan S, Leviathan, Bioquart 7, Amber Dextrous, Ashley the Thrill of the Fright, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T, Jack H, King of the Mole City under Iron Deep, Jaraxis, Eridar, Lord of the Burning Legion, Garble the Moist, Juicy Kiwi, Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C, Louie is Your Dad, Noah the Bagel of All Things, Estelle, Loyal the Ogier, Conflicted DM, Justin LeBlanc, Dandy, Ian D, Bunnies, Bunny, Freya, Sent Her Regards, Jake, Why Didn't You Acknowledge Them? Yeah, Jake. Marcos P, Pub Kalash, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota J, Pago, Self-Proclaimed Fae Prince, Katrin, the Great One, a Warlock Patron, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Frizzed, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Anthony A, Leah C, May B, Descendant of the Tightest Grandma Ever, Cran Matriarch of Her Line and Legendary Badass, Kristen with a K, Dufinius, Ah Yes Cal, the Cal who has the best players, the Cal who DMs for Gwyn, Ren, Ace, Dez, and the kidnapped Arakakra Cleric, Gart, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes the whole thing, yes every time, Neos the Novice Monster Hunter, Morgan M, Sticker, Stephen E, Mr. Adams, Meg the Mail Carrier of Bohemia, James F, Jimmy A, Captain Cappy, Number One Jens Lindell Fan, The Dragon Ambassador, Wayfarer, Andrew B, Dalton B, Cope Fresh, Barbo Good Barrel, Bard Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. Tari rhymes with Jabari, Welshlander, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Eric M, Mr. D, Tommy K. Nola, John P, Mr. Sillyhead, Otho D, Renee S, and finally Cameron C. Thank you all so much to all of our benevolent Council of Elders. You can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod, to listen to our after show. In the meantime, we'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.